We're reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
This Advent season, we've been thinking about the main characters in the Christmas story. They're all different, and their circumstances were all different. But what has struck me most this year is not how they have responded to God, but how God has spoken to them. We think and speak about how we need to come to God, and so we do. Of course, we need to respond to his love, to his call, to whatever he is saying and doing in our lives. And the main characters in the Christmas story are a challenge to us as we look at how they responded to God in the various circumstances they were in. But this Christmas, I have been thinking for myself about how God comes to us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God come to share our humanity, to walk and talk with ordinary people, to suffer and die for us. He has taken the initiative. He is the God who came in Bethlehem, and the God who comes to us every day. And in the different characters of the Christmas story, we see God coming to them and speaking to them, just as he does to us. Mary had been brought up in the Jewish faith. She was a devout girl who knew her scriptures, a girl who trusted God and sought to walk the way of faith. But she was just living her life, an ordinary, quiet life, nothing special, until the day the angel came and God spoke into her life and gave her a calling and a task. Joseph was wrestling with a problem. Mary was pregnant and the baby wasn't his, but he loved her. So what was he going to do about this terrible situation that he was in? It was such a hard place for him. But as he struggled with this problem, as it went round and round in his head and vexed him so much, God came and spoke to him and told him what he should do. The shepherds weren't thinking about God at all. They were just at their work, just a normal night looking after sheep, boring as usual, until God interrupted them until the sky was filled with the sights and sounds of the heavenly host, and they heard the amazing story of the Son of God born as a baby in Bethlehem. God showed them his love and his salvation, and immediately they went to worship him. But the wise men were different from all of these because they were looking for something. They were astronomers, really, studying the stars. I don't know what they thought they were looking for, but they were diligent in their search. I think of them a bit like scientists today, day after day doing research that maybe doesn't seem to amount to very much until the day the breakthrough comes. I suspect the wise men spent days, months, maybe even years looking for something until they saw the star and knew that something special was happening. God comes to us in all these ways. He may speak to us to call us to obey him in some way. Maybe he calls us to our life's task. Maybe something big. Maybe just a smaller task. Maybe something fairly straightforward. But at some time or other, he calls all of us. And he calls all of us many times because he has work for all of us to do. He comes to us when we are grappling with problems. Problems that might be the hardest places of our lives, like Joseph. Maybe decisions about our future. Maybe just the smaller day-to-day questions that fill our lives. But as we bring our problems to God, God speaks into our problems. And sometimes God interrupts us, as he interrupted the shepherds, and shows us his salvation. When did you first believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord? That was God showing up in your life and showing you his love and mercy. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds weren't expecting to hear from God when they did. But the wise men were expecting to find something. And when the faithfulness of these men led them to a discovery, they set out to find out about it, to follow it. And that speaks to me something about our daily lives, about our faithful following of Jesus. We read his word and pray, expecting to hear from him. And when we do hear from him, we need to follow the word he has given us. Wise men and women still seek him, and he still speaks in different ways and at different times, for he is the God who takes the initiative. He is the God who comes to us. So may our hearts be open to hear him and to follow him. So let's pause there as we sing again the first Noel. I sing some of these old Christmas carols, but I decided we should sing most of them at least once this Christmas. They lived away to the east of Jerusalem, these wise and learned men. With our increased knowledge of the skies, scholars have tried to work out exactly what it was that they saw. Some people think it might have been a supernova, an exploding star which appears with increased brightness. What is maybe more likely is that we know that around the time of the birth of Jesus, the planets Jupiter and Saturn were in conjunction with each other three times in one year, and therefore very bright, and so it might have been that. But there is no explanation for the star moving, for it guiding them and coming to rest over the place where Jesus was. But they saw something that caused them to leave their comfortable homes and probably wealthy lifestyle to go on a long and difficult journey to find out what it was all about. Whatever the star was, God used it as the means for bringing the first Gentiles, the first not Jewish people, to worship the Messiah. Just as the prophet Isaiah had said, Gentiles will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. We don't know a great deal about them. Because they brought three gifts, pictures show three men, but there could have been more. We don't really know where they came from. Some traditions say it could even have been India or China, but most probably they came from Persia, modern-day Iran. So it would have been a very long journey, almost certainly on camels, given the terrain they had to cross. Judging by the journey they made and the gifts they brought, we can assume that they were not only wise and learned, but also extremely wealthy. But what we do know for sure is that these men searched for the Messiah in a way that no one else did. They considered it worth a lot of time, a huge effort, and a great deal of money to seek him so that they could worship him. They searched for him, yes, but God led them. The star they had seen in the east went before them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They just had to follow it. It wasn't accidental that these men had seen something and set out. God had called them. They were an important part of his story. Gentiles will come to your light. They are our forerunners, the first of the millions of Gentiles who would come to believe and trust in Israel's Messiah and claim him as their Savior and Lord. But there were others in this story of the wise men. On their journey, they went first to Jerusalem to ask where this King of the Jews would be found. And while they were asking about in the city, it came to the attention of King Herod. Now you would think that this would be great and exciting news. The people had been waiting centuries for a Messiah to be born. And here were these strangers saying that they believed that some important person, maybe the King of the Jews, had been born. But no. Herod was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. The Message translation says that Herod was terrified. He was so disturbed, so terrified, and I think so raging, that he set out to ensure that the baby Jesus would be found and killed. Why? Because Jesus, a new Messiah, as the Magi said, the King of the Jews, was a threat to him. He, Herod, was the King of the Jews. There was no vacancy in the post. There was no room for anyone else. So Herod called together the chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them where it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born. The prophecies say it will be in Bethlehem, they said. These were men who more than anyone else knew the scriptures and knew that a Messiah was to come. You would think they would have been excited, overjoyed, that at last it had happened. It had happened in their lifetime, and they could actually meet the Messiah. Here were these strangers saying that the ancient prophecies had been fulfilled. Surely the chief priests and teachers would have been like the shepherds and rushed off to find the one who had come. Why did they not do that? Disbelief, maybe? Indifference, maybe? Maybe like Herod, they saw a threat to their authority, to their comfortable position. The Magi traveled hundreds of miles. If they came from Persia, maybe around 800 miles, maybe further. The chief priests couldn't bring themselves to go about 5 miles down the road. God was speaking to them too. The God who comes was taking the initiative with the religious leaders. He was inviting them too to come. But unlike Mary and Joseph, unlike the shepherds and the wise men, when God spoke and called them, when he took the initiative in their lives, they turned away. We have thought about how God comes to the characters in the Christmas story and speaks to them. But here we see that not everyone accepted his word. 3 different attitudes: the antagonism of Herod, the apathy of the religious leaders, and the adoration of the Magi. And these are the same responses that we find to Jesus in our world today. It wasn't any different then to how it is now. Sometimes we fret over the indifference and outright hostility to Jesus that we find today. Sometimes we wonder if it is worse than it has ever been. So many despotic regimes are hostile to Christians and Christianity. So many followers of the Prince of Peace practice their faith in fear of the violence of the oppressor. And in the Western world in particular, secular atheism and the increase in other faiths has resulted in apathy and indifference, in falling church attendances, and a huge drop in the numbers who would call themselves Christian. But it has always been like this. There has always been hostility and indifference and disbelief, and there always will be, until he comes back. But for us, these men, these wise men, are such an inspiration and a challenge. Nicky Gumbel says this: these men searched for the Messiah as no one else did. Their adventure is an extraordinary tale of God's grace mixed with man's hunger, as they followed the star God set up in the heavens with single-minded devotion. They were on a search for God, who had given them the signs to find him. He says, "I think these men, who knew so much less than I do about the Messiah, sought him harder than I ever had." They are an example and a challenge to us. Their time, their effort and their material wealth were devoted to finding and worshipping Jesus. How much do we devote to seeking him and worshipping him? Wise men sought Jesus. Wise men and women still seek him. Wise people still know that it is worth everything to get to know Jesus better, to follow him, to worship him, to serve him, to give our lives to him. There are a lot of people in the world who think they are wise. A lot of people who are regarded by the world as having a great deal of wisdom. But true wisdom is found in millions of ordinary folk like us. People who seek Jesus and who know that in him are the forgiveness and mercy they need, the love and grace, the companionship and help they long for, and all the answers to the questions of life. And so we pray that the God who came at Bethlehem would come afresh into our lives today and every day, interrupting us, calling us, helping us with our problems, and showing us how we can set out and follow him. And we sing again as with